Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Vietnam Innovators. I'm your host, Hao. Thank you for tuning in and tuning out every single week and supporting the program. Today, we have a guest that I haven't seen for a while. The last time I saw him was about 6 months ago. I sold him some art at an auction, actually. And Tom, are you enjoying that art by any chance?
Okay, thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Yeah, I'm quite enjoyed. Yeah.
Oh, good, good, good.
Cảm ơn HBV Việt Nam đã đồng hành cùng Vietcetera cho lối sống từ chối rủi ro, sống lành chủ động.
And Tom, you know, as the founder and CEO of Fuxin Corporation, could you introduce us a little bit to it? Because, you know, when the news came out about the recent investment round, people were like, what is this company? Is it coffee? Is it spices? What do you guys do? Why do you do what you
do? Okay, thank you. Actually, my name is Phan Minh Thông. Mm-hmm. I'm CEO of Fuxin Corporation. Fuxin Corporation was set up in 2001 when I was 26 years old, very young. And I do agriculture business, starting with pepper, cassia, star anises. And then we build a factory, starting to build a factory. And 2008, we doing coffee. And we have like 22 years doing the business.
Wow.
Yeah. And we export, we turn over about 300 million US.
Amazing.
300 million US in 102 countries all over the world. And now we have so many products like coffee, like cascara, like pepper, cassia, star anise. And we also do the brand like K-Coffee.
Okay.
We also export the K-Coffee all over the world, like instant one, roasted, everything.
Yeah. A little context for the audience. I met Anton B. purely because of his love for art. And my aunt, who's an art collector, told me that the one best art gallery in all of Saigon is actually his office, where he hangs up all this beautiful art. And he gets to showcase it to the world. A lot of his clients are from overseas. They come to Vietnam for the first time, or they only come here for business. His office is a little bit of a gateway to Vietnam, per se. And Tom, you know, I wanted to invite you on the program, too. Because when the news came out about a month ago, Fuxin received a large investment from a European fund. And I'd love for you to share more about that later. When the news came out, I sent it to some of my friends working in ESG, in private equity, and venture capital. And they were so surprised, in a good way.
Yes.
They're like, wow, this company that's been around 20 plus years selling Vietnamese products has made such an impact on the agricultural industry, where some company found the ambition to invest so much money into it. That was like when you were 26, did you imagine you'd build a business like this? And then also share with us the story of that investment, how it came to be.
Yes, I think that's a 26. When I set up the company, when I was 26, but at that time, I don't have so much choice. I work for the company, government company, and then I do quite good. In politics, I was out of the company, and I think that I want to continue to do this job. So set up the company is a very good way. And I also like immigrate to Ho Chi Minh because I was born in Haiphong. No family here. So I work everything alone, myself. So I think set up company is good. I have a good, I try to convince the buyer, the supplier to support me for starting. But it's not easy. I never think that I was now. Until now, like now. When I was 26, I just want to make a living because I was alone in Ho Chi Minh and I want to make a living and I try to sell something, do something business and starting to do business. And open the company is very challenging with me at that time. I have so much difficulty because before we work for somebody and we don't need the loan, we don't need so many things, the company management. When it was a CEO, when it was 26, even startup, we have a thing, so many things. We have to pay for staff, we have to pay for the rent, for the office and fund for company, everything. But I think that I love my job. It's the main thing. I love so much my job and I don't have another choice. So when you don't have another choice, you fight for living. So you try to live.
Wow, thank you so much. I, you know, as a Vietnamese American, I was born and raised in the US. When people think of starting businesses, people say, wow, you're amazing. Like, you gave up your corporate job, your income to go on this adventure. Congratulations. And then in Vietnam, I hear your story and you're like, it's about survival, making a living, wanting a better life, not just because you wanted to go make a unicorn $1 billion company, right?
No, but it was more like... I think that 22 years ago, it's very different now. Ho Chi Minh, even that, it's Ho Chi Minh is a big gate and more successful in Vietnam, still have a very different now. A lot of bicycle, my own society yesterday.
Yeah. What was your definition of a successful business? Was it enough to have food on the plate? Was it enough to feed your kids? Walk us through back then.
At that time, I was alone.
Yeah.
I was alone, 26. I was born in... quite poor family. Mm-hmm. My mother and my father is a worker, and my parents have 7 children. I am last one. So feed 7 children and they are workers is very hard in anywhere in the world, not only in Vietnam. Yeah. But luckily, I have a good education. I go to, my parents send me to university, and I study Foreign Trade University in Hanoi. I think it's one of the most famous in Vietnam until now. Luckily, I have a good education. And when I open the company, I just want to make a living. I have enough, because if you don't work, you cannot survive. Other time, I only I fight for living, working very hard. I think I work more than 20 hours per day. You can imagine more than 20 hours a day. And I work many countries, like when you work with American, it's a time is different, 12 hours. And the buyer just pick you the phone to talk to you and want to buy something. And normally now, I cannot do like it. 11, maybe even p.m., I already close the phone. But at the time, 2 a.m., I still hear the phone selling, buying. Because I don't have a choice. So I work so hard for many years. So, yeah.
What do your parents, your sibling, what do they think about?
My parents living in Haiphong.
What do they think about what you do today?
Actually, that's when I was in ninth grade. My parents already retired. And you can imagine that my father, when he had me, he was 43 years old. And my mother is 40 years old already. So at the time, they retired and they live in Haiphong. And they don't imagine that they doesn't know exactly, they didn't know what I am doing. What
seven
was doing.
Kids, that's a lot.
It's a very different city. And at that time, fly is not common. They don't know. I work here and very hardworking and do everything I want. Everything I think is good for living. I work really hard. But quite lucky, I have a lot of people support me and help me to raising the fund, to borrow money from the bank and work with supplier, own of this, so I can starting.
What was your big break? Like, what allowed you to get to the next level beyond just having food on the plate and making a living? What was that big break?
26 set up and 27, I bankrupt.
27 bankrupt.
I got bankrupt. You know that I go to commodity business. And commodity is upside down so much until now. They can go 100% and go down 50% in few days, in 1 week. And at 27, I got bankrupt. And I don't have anything. You say that I'm losing money, anything. But, you know, when you have somebody help you, somebody you depend, you can think about. But I am alone. My parents need my money to send home. So who I can help you? Nobody. I can only help myself. So I still remember that when I go home, I have a small apartment and very tired. So I sleep on the floor, very tired. And... bank called me and then they cut down the line because they found that I not good and cut down the line. And I still remember the moment until now, you say the break is I want to sleep and never want to wake up. Everything come all the time in the same time when I was 27. And 27, very still young now and nobody depends. So I feel that, or better, we sleep. And never want to wake up. But you know the young, when you sleep well, you can come again and you never forget. This is a very strong of young people. Young people, they have a very strong spirit, health, and they can do whatever they want. This is a very big gift.
So that was almost 20 years ago when you were 27. And it's great to hear that energy. And, you know, I really admire not only your energy, but you also have this patience to you in a way. I mean, I've only met you in person a few times, but I really admire your your patience. You seem like a calm person. You have energy, but you feel just have this confidence.
My
question for you is, you know, for the audience to know, as Anton was walking through my office, he was observing that we have a lot of young staff, et cetera. And, you know, he likes to see that and he loves to see it. Do you see young people today also having that energy, that drive, that hunger that you had when you were 26? Like, is there a difference today?
You know that I want to hear the Gen Z music, like Sun Tung, like everybody Gen Z, I love the music.
Yeah.
And people said to me that I'm so young like them. I employ also young people. Mm. In my company, it's one of the big gift I have is I'm very patient with other people. Mm. Yeah, I love and patient with other people. I always believe that they can do big thing. Yeah, so I motivate. I think that my job is only motivate people to make their dream. Yeah. Later, I can tell you more about my organization. Yeah. But I give a lot of chance to everybody go everywhere in the world. Mm. Like last week, my office have two people get the visa, USA visa. Mm-hmm. They are not the boss, they are not manager, they are like leader and staff. But they get American to work, to set up the office, to traveling, to meet the client, and we fight for that. And I'm going to give a lot of confidence to the young people that they can do whatever they want if they really believe that. So, and when I was 27, I think that I don't have another choice, and I build up again.
How long did that build up take? Did it take 1 year?
I build up again, and I think 1 year I over the difficulty.
Okay,
it's very difficulty. Yeah. In 2004, I starting to build the first factory. You can imagine.
2004. Okay.
2004. Wow. It means that from 2001 we set up, and 2002 I bankrupt.
Yeah.
And 2004 I can set up the first factory.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you still have that factory?
Yes, we have
same one.
But now it's like eight times bigger. Oh, okay. 8 times bigger. It's really big now.
Amazing. I love the enthusiasm. And I mean, you mentioned like you were buying and selling with like US companies and all that. Walk us through what it was like being a Vietnamese working in a global environment. Yeah. What did the Americans think? Were they scared of you? Were you scared of them?
I know what you mean. Many people ask me the same question. Mm. But I was born with no fear on going out.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a very funny talk. If people don't wear anything, they are same.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
Yes, yeah. I would think that. So when people go from the, maybe at that time I don't have much money, I'm a bit poor. Mm. But when I see the rich people, I don't feel anything gap. At that time I come and meet the buyer and I come to meet the people. They are the owner, came from Europe, Singapore, France, American. I don't feel anything problem. I just came because I think that I have a lot of, I'm very eager to explore. Mm. I have a big story, a lot of story to tell them that I can do it.
Yeah.
So I came and talked to them, I convinced them to buy for me, talk to them everything.
What did they think of you? You have this fear.
I think that... I have a lot of story. I'm very lucky. You know that a lot of people help me. I have a big Singapore, big company want to help me. And at that time, they brought me to the bank and they guarantee for me to borrow. I think it's a like legend story. Never happened. Until now, never happened. But I have a lot of people doing the same. And the question, why? They can do like this for me. You ask me, they scaring me though. They do love me, and I ask myself that why they do like that. And I answer that they can see me like they was young. When they saw me, the image of me like they was young.
So it reminds them of themselves,
and they want to help them.
That's really interesting.
Yes,
because some of the most successful entrepreneurs that I've met in my life have said something very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar. Because I think at one point when you have enough money, let's say, you've made a lot of money in your lifetime, you kind of want to give back, not to just charity. Yes, there's that, of course, too. And continuing to invest in the business. But there's also like investing in those entrepreneurs that had the same challenges that you had.
it's, when I talk the story, nobody believed until now. Nobody believed. Mm-hmm. But it's happened to me. Mm-hmm. And they brought me to the bank, mm-hmm. and then they helped me. And not only one case, I have a few cases like this. Mm-hmm. I have Singapore, Indian Singapore. Mm-hmm. And normally that Indian Singapore, they are very tired. Mm-hmm. But when they work with me, I think maybe I have a lot of energy, mm-hmm. and I want to make a dream. Yeah. So they helped me to the dream come true. Mm-hmm. And also I have a really story with France people, French people, mm-hmm. and also American. So it make me feel very lucky to set up, to running, to build the company. Mm-hmm. And until now own the company. Until now, we still working with the company, but they retire. Mm-hmm. And I work with their son, their nephew. Wow. Continue.
Walk us through, who are these buyers? Are they like retailers? Are they distributors? Are they brands? I'm kind of moving over a little bit.
We are doing B2B, because B2B business, the raw material business.
Yep, yep, yep.
Vietnam is one of the biggest raw material business in the world. Mm. So we are like the first one in like seafood, like rice, like cashew nut, like pepper, like coffee. We are number one, number two in the world. So you do big business by container. So we sell to the owner buyer in the container. They are the raw material, B2B business. And B2B need a lot of money to do business. I'm very lucky that when I set up the company when I was young, and the price of that is not so expensive, and I have a lot of support to make my dream come true.
Wow, you're so excited. I love it.
Yes.
That's incredible. Thank you so much. How do you see the future of your industry? You mentioned like, you know, number one and number two in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love sharing that to people, that Vietnam is number one, number two in something. But the brand of Vietnam.
Yes.
Right? The commodity is there, but the brand. What do you think about that? What's the future?
Okay. First thing that after COVID, after pandemic, the food become very important. Mm. Agriculture, now they think is not the meaning and very important. Mm. People now change the thinking. Okay. Before they think about finance, Bitcoin, or the money.
Yeah.
Now they think food is very important. A lot of companies in all over the world came to Vietnam, come to Vietnam and invest on food business, agriculture business. It's very important. And prior agriculture become very expensive. Mm. Yes, that is
it's like food security.
Yes, the food.
People think
about it. And when they hungry, when they pandemic, you cannot eat the bitcoin, you can eat so many things, but you need bread, wheat, or rice. So food is very important. So Vietnam is become very important on the agriculture, on the food. And also for last, I think 10 years, special 5 years, a lot of brand Vietnam, they build it. I think everything need a time. 20 years ago, like 24, 25 years ago, Vietnam still very poor. A lot of not changed. But last 10 years, Vietnam developed so much. Everybody came to Vietnam and say a lot of things, and a lot of money go to Vietnam, and a lot of brand build it. So now we are starting to sell our coffee to America, to sell to supermarket.
Yeah.
And my friend said, in California, they can buy coffee or something like this. So it's changing a lot. And then now Hong Kong, Uncle Isley, my friend said, in Hong Kong, I can buy coffee. That is amazing, like 10 years old. Now they're asking brand. So many people starting to do a lot of brand in Vietnam and starting a little bit famous.
Let's talk about the Fuxin investment that it received recently. So for those that don't know what I'm talking about, I mentioned earlier in the podcast that Fuxin Corporation recently received, I think it was an 80 million, was it something, a lot of money.
I was the company value 320 million.
Company was valued at 320 million. So you guys received an investment.
Yeah, we got
for invest. What? Was it to increase capacity?
We have after 22 years, we are like private company. So you want to expand more because you do a lot of business in this area. So now we get the money to build the two factories.
Okay.
Yeah, two factories in the business. So coffee factory.
So you have three in total then after that. Okay.
Yes.
So has the business been just you basically since then? like you as the founder? And then,
That did. And now the company, and then the fund came to the the company, and they we're raising the fund to build the factories.
How did that relationship start? Did they find you? Did you find them?
When you do good, many IB companies contact you. I have, actually, I have contacted from 2010, 13 years ago. And we have somebody, but they pay a very low price. So I say no. Okay. I'm very good to say no because everybody say yes, and they a lot of ingrate and problem. But I don't feel good value, I say no. So many times from 13 years, many people came, and 2 years ago, we have a very good company, the IB company, and they are like first class. They came to us and convened us that after 21, 22 years already, you need to expand. Every time you put the profit, you need 10 years. Maybe raising the fund is good and you can expand double size. And it's a very big cake. Everybody have a big cake. So, and you can make bigger dream. So I agree.
Tell us about this company that you have partnered with. Where is it from?
Actually, they are from Holland.
Holland.
Yes, they are from Holland. And the IB company is worldwide. It's the first class.
So, IP, sorry?
Yeah, IB. Investment IB. Bank.
Okay.
So they introduce, they are like service company. They make both of company together, and it's not easy. It takes about 18 months to get the conclusion and get finished the deal. And the fund only working with ESG. So ESG is very, in Vietnam, is very little. Where Phúc Sinh is like unique. And we starting with ESG like 13 years ago with certified. So we do a lot of certified system, everything. But ESG asking more. ESG like you work at environment, you work with government, and then govern yourself. It means that government companies yourself. It means that you have a system. So a lot of
process.
Condition, processing, everything. But we are finished it. Everybody talk at ESG, but we can know ESG. What is ESG already? Because we are DD ESG, I think 3 months ago, 4 months ago.
Yeah, everyone is talking about ESG now. Yes. And Tom, you know, I also wanted to invite you on the program because we have an annual ESG conference. It's going to be in May of 2024. And it seems like a lot of Vietnamese companies don't know what to do.
Yes.
They know that by practicing these policies, they might attract more international buyers, maybe some investors, but they might be struggling with like, well, I have to make so much investment. It's not worth, you know, when am I going to get the money back? Could you talk about that a little bit? Like, did you have the same questions? Or
everybody talk on ESG, but they know what is ESG very, very important. And even that E is environment, S is a social and govern. But actually, what is that? Like environment, last 13 years ago, I think we have to talk about the food safe and sustainability. Yes, we have a traceability on this, make us to make safe food and make sustainability business. Yes, you build a factory not only 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, you make a 30, 50 year and forever. You have to live very peaceful with the labor, the land, the people working, the farmer. This is the environment in ESG. Okay.
What did your staff think about these policies?
Actually, I was forced to do it.
Okay.
In 2010, like 14 years ago, I sell to big company in Holland.
And they start talking about this, and you're like,
and they talk
okay.
about it, and they want the supplier doing it. Otherwise, I will be kicked out. I would be kicked out.
Wow.
So I have no choice to do it.
Yeah.
Yes, that is a starting with ESG.
So you're forced into it, and then you learned on the go.
You learned and
faster.
I feel it's a good thing.
Okay,
I feel that it's a very responsibility the person, and become the company have to be responsibility, have a responsibility with the area they are set up, with the farmer, with the people over there. You have to do it. You just don't take the only profit.
I think that's like one of the next steps in Vietnam's development where it treats its own brand better.
Yes.
Like Vietnam has such a large population. There's a lot of agricultural land, but people are abusing it, perhaps, like taking it for granted because there's so much and it's always there. But then after a while, you know, it's starting to run out, right? Or become less quality because it's been used and used and used. So it's great to hear that.
That's why Fuxing is very different and K Coffee is very different because we already do sustainability business long time, CSB long time. And it make us to get very easy client in the world. We get the paid better price, premium, what we get certified. So I feel that, it's amazing.
You're upgrading.
Upgrade. And one is support for the environment, and one you can get profit. You follow the rule. Yeah. And then social. It means that we, like the company, have something with the government, have to work peaceful with area, follow the rule, law, have to pay the tax, own is the ESG. Before, they only sustainability business. Now, ESG, you have to pay the tax, you have to follow the rule in the native government, in the local government. This is the ESG. And then you have a govern. It means that you have a cheat your stuff well system. You build system like AI, you change to software. So this is also Z is for that.
The governance.
So, so all the thing we have come up in the same time. So we were the DD by the company. They have a ESG, the system. So 90% we over. So it's good. But ESG is a nice destination, nice on the way go to, not the
It doesn't finish right away.
No, it's not the way. It's on the way you are making better yourself.
I'm sure you have a lot of friends in agriculture as well. And like people that you have built your business with, they have their own factories too, maybe. They're building their own brands. And what do they ask you about ESG? Like, what are their questions? Because I'm assuming that they haven't been as... quick.
I tell you, maybe they don't like me, but actually, they talk ESG, but I almost they don't know what is the ESG, and then they don't want to hear from agriculture to talk about it because maybe finance, maybe the jewelry or many companies like it. But if anybody asking me. I will tell, but I have a newspaper asking me to public to talk about, and I was like, people, they want me to present, to talk about the ESG for their group, for their client. I also have an invitation like that.
Okay.
So it's good. It's good that we can, you can teach them, you can educate, you can communicate own information with other. It also is the ESG way.
Yeah. I'm guessing since... some of those articles came out about the investment, you've received even more interest.
Yes.
What kind of interest are you seeing as a result?
I think that is like amazing. When we publish the new, we have owned the newspaper and have everybody calling, everybody sends a text, everybody say that. And we have a very high chances on the information. Yeah. And it's very interesting because now is I think the pandemic, after pandemic, it's a company, I think the world economy down. So we have a very positive news and especially agriculture business. Yes. And it's very good that it make a like breaking news for everybody. And I see that we are on the first, I think the first day, the first page, many very famous newspaper on the investment. But I think it's good because the private company is a value, high value, and they build very good thing. And then they have an investment from the company, do an ESG, it's also trendy.
I liked it as well. It was encouraging to see because I think one of the things that investors are concerned about Vietnam is things like transparency, governance. So most of these people and funds also don't have employees here. So it's hard for them to do due diligence or to trust the partner that they want to invest in. And so when the news came out, I was like, yeah, that's awesome. You know, like step by step, we can build more and more trust into the markets in Vietnam and have confidence in the next generation of entrepreneurs here who are doing cool stuff. So,
and also it's a good thing that we are 17 years doing the big audit, the big four. It's a private company, but 17 years we audit by Big Four company. I think it's very unique. And also we have an ERP from 2007, only is our system. Now people say change to number, change to AI, or change to software. But I do it starting 2017 and keep doing it until now, 2007, and keep until now. So
Did you have an advisor or a business partner that helped you with that, or did you kind of just figure it out?
I think it's the first thing that I travel a lot.
Okay. So you hear
when,
from other
when
people.
I travel, because I go to a lot of to Switzerland company and German company. I meet a lot of small, medium company. Mm-hmm. The first thing I see, every factory, they have laboratories. Mm-hmm. In Vietnam, private, never opened laboratory. Okay. We that did it on 2009. Mm-hmm. It means 15 years ago. And we have a ERP system 2007. Mm-hmm. So I saw it. I say, if I manage, if I traveling, if I do a lot of things, I need system control it, management by software. Mm-hmm. So that's why we build it with people. And now I think 17 years already on the software. Yeah. So it's good that I traveling. So I can see that, so I can bring everything good. Yeah. But we're also using a lot of advisor on the business.
Mm. Okay, very good. It's great to hear that you're going out there learning from people, you're engaging with professionals, advisors. And what I find in Vietnam is a lot of people like to keep it to themselves.
Yes.
Because of they're afraid of like sharing too many secrets or something like that, or competition, you know, leak out information or something like that. I ask, okay, so my question, Antham, is what does the next generation of Vietnamese businesses like yours have to do to keep up with the world?
I think that we also do like our focusing is private, but public management.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, we don't have so much variety, own the public people.
Yeah.
And like Vietnam, I think it's very good chance for young people because now Vietnam is a very good destination for investment. You see so many investment from all over the coming. Mm. Vietnam have a huge agriculture business. Mm. Like Holland, I never think that Holland is a second largest potato export. Mm. It's a small country. So Vietnam, I think, is a good chance to become a world destination, world main producing like agriculture business. And young people, I think that they should bring more value added on that like old people already done. Mm. Because we see, I think that we try to make Vietnam is a center. It means that a lot of factory value added. You have to
upgrade,
I think, invest.
Yeah.
A lot of value-added business and try to must be very creative to keep it. But actually that nowadays, night coffee in Vietnam, very famous nowadays in the world. Before 10 years ago, they said Vietnam coffee is a very not good, everything is quality. But after 10 years, I think the Robusta Vietnam is, I think, perfect, excellent. Yeah. Like many very good brands, they're using Vietnam Robusta 70%, and now very expensive. They're still using it. It means that the quality is very different already. Year by year, Vietnam changing a lot. Like durian, also Vietnam good coffee, pepper. The price of quality also very much different. It means that we already invest a lot of producing factory value added. Yes.
Been in business for 23 years. What is the next 23 look like?
You know that we have a planning for next 5 years. So we try to get the 650 million US turnover for the building
doubling.
A lot of factory. Yes, because we are doing this. On the IB said the unicorn is not very far with the focusing. But we do a lot of brand now. We build a lot of factory for branding because I saw that I tried to open the shop. I tried to do branding like Cascara. I bring a lot of factory in Vietnam to many area and build the new products.
Yeah.
Many products in Vietnam now only Fuxing produce, like free dry green pepper, pepper in brine, Cascara, all the industry products, but only Fuxing doing it.
Wow.
And we try to make more brand. So before they talk only Fuxing is export and B2B, I think in next 10 years, people see that Fuxing is a brand company. They can produce so many brands. But I'm very happy that Vietnam give me a chance to rule from farm to cup. It means that we have a farm, we have a factory, we have a roasting, producing, the packaging and distribution, and own the chain coffee shop. So this is what I'm going to do in the future. And I try to make more product for Vietnamese. You understand that the reason we do coffee, I think 8 years ago, I feel that the own coffee Vietnam is the own flavor and chemical. But I think that we are the biggest country in Robusta coffee. Why we have to drink that kind of coffee? So that is K-Coffee happened. And from that, we build so many products for local, not only export, for local using. Yeah, this is my target.
Locals are making more money than ever.
Yes.
So they don't need cheap anymore. They need good.
We are Vietnamese, so we try to change it, adapting that, and we try also, we need something for us to browse that we can do for Vietnamese, not only import quality, import cargo. So that is also my main target for next many years.
Okay, that's incredible. Thank you so much for sharing. And
yes.
That's enough about Phuc Sinh, everybody. I mentioned earlier at the start of the show that Anh Thom is a very avid art collector. And in fact, he loves to talk about, not only talk about it, but introduce art to a lot of international people who don't know anything about art or even Vietnamese art. Tell us about that hobby. I just want people to understand you a little bit better and your other interests.
I came to ask very, not I tried to do from beginning. It's suddenly I get it.
Okay.
I build a house. And I think that because I'm traveling, I see all my my friend, my buyer, how they always have a very good painting. Yes. So I think, we are going to buy nice painting. I don't have any clue yet. So I have asked my friend. And luckily, she took me to one of the most famous at that time, the gallery. So I choose art. Until now, that kind of painting can still inspire me a lot. And I hang it in the wall. It's so beautiful. It makes my room, my living room, so nice. So I thought, when my wife came and she also feel very inspired. She loves so much. So I think, why we don't hang on the office and more space? Then we keep buying and then doing it. Especially that when 2007, I keep buying and selling a lot of painting. And my buyer, when they came in, they make so much impressive. I think that like in Europe, like Germany, Switzerland, Austria, if somebody collects art, it means they are very different. It costs a lot of money.
They're curious.
There's a lot of money. So they came here, they see the office so nice, also very beautiful. The Vietnamese painting and artist very talented. So make my buyer, they concentrate on art. They don't concentrate on what are Phuc Sinh doing. Say, if Phuc Sinh has it, maybe they have a very high class. So they have a lot of support. Like they have a sympathetic with me, they understanding more and do. And they give me a lot of choice, chance. And when they check the factory, they check on so easier. When they see the art,
it's nice on the eyes.
Nice on the eyes, and then they give a lot of chance, give a lot of order. They give us like a little bit respected, more respected, respect than normal. So I think art bring a lot of things. And then many people want to buy the art. So I make a connection. I buy and sell in art. I make a bit money, but the thing that I involve more in art. And then I keep buying. After 6 years, some painting go 3 times, 400%. It's go very expensive, like Trần Như Hậu. So it's a like big investment also. I have one painting, I buy 12,000, and some of a person asking me 130,000 in 10 years. In 10 years.
Can people go see the art? I mean, I was a guest, and obviously I know you, so I was able to go in. But do you have a space that people can see?
You know that we have a lot of buyers all over the world that come to see it. And some people want to, my friend. They are not my friend.
They're just people that admire
People,
art.
Yes. Yeah. They want to see. So I think about it. Maybe I will open the gallery for everybody can see it. And I have a friend like Madame Phuong. She also said that, Thom, if you can bring the children, you bring the people, go to saw a collection, it's a very good appeal because they can feel how beautiful it is. And they can understand the art from Vietnam. And I think it's the best way that you see the physical. It's a physical. How they can see the gallery, you can collect it. It's very important. But you think about it. So I think it's a good idea. I'm also thinking about it.
Okay.
How to communicate with the gallery and make an exhibition, and also how to communicate with the people loving art.
Well, we definitely have something to talk about later then.
Yes.
And, since I came to your office, I've started collecting myself just for fun, and mostly artists from Hue, because my family is from Hue, like Madame Fung, for instance. And not only does it look nice, but there's a story to tell.
Yes.
When you have guests over, that kind of thing. It's a great way to introduce Vietnam. I have one last question for you, Anthom, and I always ask this to my guests on my show. You're an expert in agriculture. You know how to do manufacturing. You know much more about art than most people. What do you not know about? And what are you curious about? So I ask you this because the next guest I will invite on this show will answer your question.
So you mean that I curious?
Yeah, but you don't know enough.
You want to curious?
Yeah.
What? Actually, that I have so many things I want to do, but I don't have a time. Like movie.
Movies. Okay.
Yes, I loving movies so much. So I have a few people want me to invest in movie. And if I go to the cinema, I try to watch 2 or 3 movies in the same time.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And I remember that few movies I go to the cinema to watch 4 times because I really love movie.
Are you watching international movies, Vietnamese movies?
Both. Yeah.
Okay, well, while we're on that topic, Vietnamese industry, cinema and movies, what are your thoughts on it? Is it going anywhere? Do you see opportunity there?
I think a lot of when I work international, I think a lot of opportunities. When I was trading, I would ask myself, why Holland do it? Vietnamese, Holland do it, Hong Kong do it. Why I cannot do it?
So
I do everything. I buy from Philippines, I buy from Indonesia, I sell to Hamburg. I buy from Africa to sell American. I do everything like this. Example like this. So I don't put me like second class. I always do everything freedom.
We're always...
Yeah, always freedom.
There's always unlimited possibility.
Yes, yes. Okay. I think I can do in business. Until now, everybody, when I talk like this, people don't believe. I already buy clothes from Madagascar and sell to Arab Saudi. But I buy from... Benzam guy. They take from Madagascar and they sell to Hong Kong guy, and Hong Kong guy sell to Arab Saudi. Yes, so you know that the document travel is it, but the Madagascar ship direct to Arab Saudi.
Okay.
So you mean that normally I already very open mind when I was very young, 2017. And I see the cinema also. I see a lot of actors, very beautiful and very talented. They don't have manuscript. They don't have a very good story and director to do it. Yes, and I think that the Vietnamese people very talented actors and actor. They need the good movie to open. Yes, everybody go to Hollywood, and before is Hong Kong. But I think that the very talented actors and actor Vietnam, they need the support. They need the people can handle it. Yeah, understanding and handle it.
Yeah.
And I think it's a time only.
That's great. I love hearing that, Anthom. And again, super. I love the enthusiasm, and I only wish the best for Phuc Sinh.
Yes.
Thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you, very
everyone.
Much.
I've wanted Anthom on the show for a while, and when the news came out, I was quite grateful that he's extended his time here with us. So, if you're curious about Phuc Sinh, if you're curious about Anthom and his art collection, we'll include information in the link below so you can read more about Phuc Sinh and what they do. We'll include some photos of his office art gallery as well. It's been such a pleasure to learn from you, though, Anthom, today. And best of luck. I can't wait to see the business grow to $650 million in turnover in 5 years' time.
Thanks.
So, thank you so much, guys. And thank you for tuning in for another episode of Vietnam Innovators, everyone. I'm Hal. This is Anthom. And thank you so much again, and see you next week.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Thank you, Hal.
You can also check out the video version of this podcast on our other platforms such as YouTube and Facebook. New episodes are out every week, so don't forget to subscribe to Vietcetera's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube channel for more interesting content.